This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Today it's going to be the Dodger Jim Rome Show. Normally I'm here to beat back all the Dodger Jim slander.
You sound like a homer.
The Dodger Jim allegations, because normally they're not true. I don't root for the Dodgers, because I don't root for any team except team content. Now, I might not root for the Dodgers, but I will defend the Dodgers, especially if they're doing nothing wrong, and especially if they're actually doing almost everything right. I mean, what a villain that they are to the game of baseball. I mean, to hear most people talk about them, the Dodgers actually represent everything that is wrong with baseball, instead of everything that's right with the game. Incredibly run, class organization that is better at making money and better at spending money than anybody else. And on top of that, they are the reigning world champs. I mean, the horror. Worst thing ever to happen to baseball, the Dodgers. Man, contract them before they take a wrecking ball to the sport once and for all. Now, that said, I'm well aware of the frustration with the Dodgers. I'm not tone deaf, nor am I blind to it. I'm not saying that there's not disparity between the haves and the have-nots. I can see where many of you got all butthurt and bent all over again yesterday with Commissioner Bob Manfred's latest comments where he defends the Dodgers' spending. Hey, look, usually everything that dude says drives me crazy too. But this is the rare case where I'm actually going to back that guy up. I'm actually going to back up the commissioner in this case, because in this case, the commissioner actually is making a lot of sense for once.
Look, I think that the Dodgers have gone out and done everything possible, always within the rules that currently exist, to put the best possible team on the field. And I think that's a great thing for the game. That type of competitive spirit is what people want to see. By the same token, I said this at the owners' meetings, I'll say it again, it's clear that we have fans in some markets that are concerned about the ability of the team in their market to compete with the financial resources of the Dodgers. And I think if we've been consistent on one point, it is we try to listen to our fans on topics like this. And I have heard people on this, believe me. I get a lot of emails about it.
I mean, he gets a lot of emails, yo. Oh, are you done? He reads a lot better than he sounds. This dude's not exactly the commissioner of Riz, is he? The commissioner of MLB, but not the commissioner of RISS. The thing is, I get a lot of emails, guys. I get a lot of faxes on this, guys. Now, the thing is, on this topic, though, my beeper is going crazy, guys. I can't log on to AOL, guys, because I keep getting so many calls that are knocking me off air.
Donk, donk, donk.
You've got mail.
I had to get a new Palm Pilot. My other one crashed. Anyway, the commissioner of Riz is not wrong. At least not here. I know most of you hate that. Well, if any of you stayed awake to the end of that, you hated that. But in this case, he's right. The Dodgers franchise has gone out and done everything possible within the rules of the game to field the best team possible. And that makes them bad for the sport? How? I think you should be mad at your team for not doing the same thing, instead of being mad at the Dodgers for doing the right thing, for being all in. And I mean, like, for real all in. Not the kooky old man version of all in. Speaking of the kooky old man.
All in.
It's almost like that's what some of you really want for the Dodgers. You want the Dodgers to operate like the Cowboys. You want them to have the biggest fan base and make the most money, but operate like a clown show that hoards all that money and never spends that money, or rarely, and never wins. Then you'd be happy, right? But since the Dodgers actually operate like a really, really well-run organization, like, say, the Eagles, and they spend their money, and they spend it wisely. They don't just spend it. They spend it wisely, they stack their talent, they get their guys under contract, and they actually win championships. That makes them bad for the sport. That makes them the villains. That means they're killing the game in the wrong way. Killing the sport, I mean. The hell it does. I mean, what? Are the Dodgers supposed to not try? Are they not supposed to do everything they can to win? Are they not supposed to build the best organization they can? Are they not supposed to bring in the best players they can? Are they not supposed to reinvest the money that they've earned legitimately? The hell are we even talking about here? They're doing everything that every fan wants their team to do, right? Everything possible within the rules to win. That's what every fan wants of their team. But not the Dodgers. No, not them. That makes them bad for baseball. No, it doesn't. Manfred's actually right about this. The Dodgers are great for baseball. And that's not Dodger Jim. That's just normal logic. In fact, the Dodgers are exactly what baseball needs right now. All right, just step back for a minute. Separate yourself and detach from this hate that you just decided. I think I hate the Dodgers. Just detach. Baseball is trying to compete in 2025. It needs star power. It needs appointment viewing. It needs a potential dynasty to go along with a potential GOAT. The Dodgers check all of these boxes. The problem for baseball is not how all in the Dodgers are. It's the fact that there are very few other teams that can honestly say that they're all in. And this is probably where a bunch of you run up in here crying about deferred salaries. Thing is, this is not unique to the Dodgers. I mean, it is because they're taking advantage of it. But any team can defer salaries. The Red Sox just deferred half of Alex Bregman's new contract. I don't hear anybody going all Marvin Freeman over that. The Dodgers have deferred so much salary for so many players because so many players are willing to defer so much salary because they want to play there. Nobody is making anybody sign with the Dodgers, and certainly nobody is forcing any of them to defer their money. But if you're mad at the Dodgers for making more than anybody else and then putting it back into the team more than anybody else and doing it all within the rules, then what exactly is your problem? Your problem is probably with your team for not doing any of those things. Your problem is not actually with the Dodgers. Your problem is you weren't born in L.A. Your problem is you don't live in L.A. My point is they can't win. If they make all that money and they don't spend it and they don't win, then they get hammered. Then they're the Cowboys, right? You're worth all that money. You make all that money, but you don't spend that money and you don't win. You're the Cowboys. But if you spend the money and you win, you still get crushed because it's so unfair. Either way, somebody is ready to take a bat to them, no matter what they do. Well, and by the way, spending money does not guarantee championships. Otherwise, they would win it every single year. Now, I do get this. If you're a small market fan of a small market team, and you are worried about how can your team possibly compete, I get that. I do get that. Except that's not the Dodgers' problem. Nor is it the Dodgers' job to spend less and win less or make less money so your team has a better chance. What kind of logic is that? Bottom line is you don't hate the Dodgers. You hate that your team is not the Dodgers. Or you just hate to hate. You just don't like the Dodgers because you don't like LA, or you don't like a winner, or you don't like me, or you like to just invent reasons to hate things. You know, I'll give you an example. No, Rome, why would we do that? You just come up with reasons to hate things. You know, like that whole Shohei conspiracy where Major League Baseball and the feds colluded to pin Shohei's gambling addiction on his interpreter. Why? Because Shohei's great. Why? Because he deferred all that money. Why? Because LA won because he's so great and deferred all that money. How many of you believe this still? A lot of you. If you're going to irrationally hate Shohei for that, then it stands to reason you're probably going to irrationally hate the Dodgers for making more money, spending more money, running their organization better than anybody else's, and being successful. Even TMZ is in on it. Check them out putting Shohei on blast for his parallel parking at spring training. Hey, now, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Not bars, not a sugary snack, not an energy drink. We want beef, pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your old man's jerky. Shriveled, dry, tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. That way it's tender and tasty, not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. What I'm saying is they take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in four amazing flavors to satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. So look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? I mean, if we're going to start spotlighting and highlighting people for bad parallel parking, go ahead and put a camera on me. Who amongst us would not be up on the curb? I mean, is that so egregious? Really, who is good at parallel parking anyway? I mean, you realize they drive on the other side of the street in Japan, right? You realize this guy pitches like an ace and hits like an MVP, and we're going in on him for his parallel parking? And is it really even that bad? If that were me, I would consider that the biggest win ever. I'd still be parking, first of all. I mean, all my sensors would be going off. I'd be backing into people. Believe me, if that were me and I parked the way he just did, that'd be like my personal triple crown. PR, got parallel parked in under 5 minutes. I guess it comes with the territory though, right? When you're on top, you got that microscope on you. And if you're going to hate, you're going to hate. Even if you are a really well-run organization that works within the rules of the game and does everything they can to win. Look, if they were a bunch of cheaters and there were trash cans banging, spider tack being smeared all over the ball, technology used to rip signs, guys in the bathroom stalls like back in the day shooting each other in the ass full of Bolroids, smashing greenies in every single clubhouse. Fine. But they're not. Not as far as I can tell. Tell you one more thing about them. Yeah, I'm guessing they could care less about the rest of the sport struggling.
I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
Because they've got, what up, Joe? They've got their own concerns. Such as. Yeah. Such as. What up, Joe? Love Joe. Such as one of their own pitchers nearly buying it, nearly dying while having dinner last year. Have you seen this story? Now, if you think what I said before was polarizing, I'm a little conflicted about bringing this up. However, it is news. Dustin May nearly died while eating. That probably flashed to his mind during that meal. Time to die! My man nearly died while eating. While eating, wait for it, a salad.
What?
I know, right? A salad. Now, I can already see all the wheels in your clone brains spinning like crazy, but it's true. Back in July, while Dustin May was, you know, mixing in a salad, he had a piece of lettuce caught in his throat that nearly killed him. Normally, I would find that very amusing. But the guy had to have emergency surgery. That's right, clones. Not a rack of ribs. Not a rack of lamb. Not a big bag of buffalo wings. Not Halloween candy. Not a ham sandwich. A salad. My dude. Scary stuff. What kind of lettuce is that sharp? Arugula? Romaine? Radicchio? It's got to be iceberg, right?
Iceberg, run ahead!
All these years of me jumping up on the soapbox, or me going to the highest rooftop I could find and screaming out loud at the top of my lungs, mix in a salad, and somebody did and nearly died from it?
Well, what?
Is Bobby Miller going to push away from the dinner table, have his chair fall back, and crack his dome wide open on some marble floor? Dustin, my man. Wow. Memo to you, my brother, and the rest of you.
Brother.
Do not mix in a salad. Smash all the cake you want.
Have another cake.
Have another cake.
Have another cake.
Do not mix in a salad. Because salad apparently is hazardous to your health. 1-800-636-8686. Yeah, I'm not here to troll you at all. I believe what I just said. And I know you're all butthurt and you're up in arms. Not about the salad, but about the Dodgers. What are they supposed to do? Not try? Not try to be the best version of themselves? Not try to win at all? Really, really well-run organization. Yes, money helps. But money doesn't guarantee championships. You got to spend wisely. Hey, money doesn't guarantee anything. Look at the Cowboys. They're worth more than any franchise. And what's that gotten them? Nothing in 30 years. But nobody has an issue with that because they haven't won anything in 30 years. Ah, that's the thing. Nobody has an issue with the Cowboys because they haven't won anything in 30 years. That's what you want. You want the Dodgers to just kind of suck, and then you don't care. All right, on top of that, hey, speaking of which, the hell is going on with the Jayhawks? The hell is going on with Bill Self? They were a preseason number one. How did they get hammered by BYU?
Kansas
coming
Jayhawks.
Off a loss to Utah. I thought that trip to Utah overall was the get-right road trip. You know, the thing that was going to bring them all together. The preseason number one is about to tumble right out of the top 25. Hey, look, Bill Self is a legend, but my man, the hell is going on there? Let's spin back to baseball. Juan Soto said, you know what? The thing about the Mets, I feel like they give me the best chance to win. Aaron Judge, former teammate, said, you know, I disagree with that. So who's right? We'll talk about that too. Once again, the telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Let's see here. Before I go to break, at Oh That Guy Fully, quote, look out, everyone. Jim had a double dose of the nitro this morning, and he's coming out hot. Hashtag, hate is that new dopamine. No. Same dose. Nitro cold brew, ad shot. Same as it ever was. Nothing changes when it comes to the caffeine intake. Let's see here. George in Frisco. Quote, I almost died from eating a salad too. Yours, Jeff in Richmond and the Fats.
Fats?
Why did I know that if I came out blazing with an awesome Dodger take, and then if I just threw a little comedy in at the very end, that was the part that you'd latch onto? The lettuce. The salad. Clone, stop wasting time with the shoes that leave you limping by the end of the day. Jetify shoes are engineered to help kick pain to the curb. Thanks to Jetify's patented VersaShock technology, Jetify shoes turn every step into an opportunity to feel better, not worse. Jetify shoes absorb the shock, help align your body, improve your body's biomechanics, and propel you forward. The FTC authorized Jetify to tell you that its patented VersaShock technology helps to relieve minor occasional pain from weight-bearing activities like running, walking, and prolonged standing. Want to try them for yourself? Text GYM to 91888 and get 50% off orders of over $120. That's right, half off the shoes that'll make your body feel like a well-oiled machine and will have you walking like a champion. Trust me, I use them myself. I like to hike. I like to walk. I like to get my cardio on virtually every single day, and Jetify shoes have made a major difference for me. Once again, text GYM to 91888 for 50% off orders of over $120, or head on over to Jetify.com and use code GYM and take your first step forward toward unmatched comfort and support. Message and data rates do apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Buzz Williams. Buzz, my man, I know there are a million things that you would rather do than talk to me after a challenging night last night, but here you are right on time. How you doing, Buzz?
Great to see you. How are you?
I'm great, Buzz. How you doing?
Doing good. We weren't very good last night, but excited about what's happening on Saturday morning and the journey our group's on. So we've got a lot of work to do to get ready for Tennessee, but our guys will be ready.
Hey, Buzz, you said we weren't very good last night, but we're excited about the journey we're on. My man, you are very good at life. Why don't we talk about that really quickly? Aside from that tough one in Starkville last night, how are you feeling about this group overall and the way it's trending as we go into the middle of February? What's it feel like to you, big picture?
Big picture, and very thankful for the lifelong relationships that are happening and have happened in our organization. 106 years total from our staff, no matter where we've lived. So thankful for the old adults, but also very thankful for the young adults and the relationships that we'll have for life with them. Genuine love, a lot of trusted relationships that have been born through adversity, but also through a lot of good times. And what's happening results-wise has been historical thus far in the season for us. And we're excited for whatever's going to take place over the next 5 to 6 weeks. But the love and the trust is unlike any that I've ever been a part of, and I'm very humbled and thankful for that.
You see, Buzz, this is really interesting to me because it's become a real theme on the program. I'm talking to more and more college coaches as we get into February and get ready for March Madness. Every single coach has said this, unsolicited to what you just said. The reason our team's doing so well, the reason we're having such a good journey and the process is so good is the love. I've never heard so many coaches talk about love amongst the players and within, and even more ironic when you consider all the movement and how transient everything is right now. Is this a new development? Why does it feel like everybody is preaching love and it's not cheesy, it's real?
Yeah, I think maybe some of it has to do with the era that we're in. There's talented coaches everywhere. There's talented players everywhere. The exposure that comes from our industry now applies to everyone. everyone has a platform. And so I think to some degree, Rome, I think it probably boils down to the relationships. And I think that in the end, that's probably what matters the most. And so if your guests and coaches are talking about real love, that probably bodes well for the future of our country and the leaders that are being created from this next generation. So that's a good thing, I think.
And that's a great thing. And Buzz, this is what I like about our relationship. Well, many things, but our relationship's unique in the sense that I think you're a hell of a coach. But I find myself always wanting to talk to you about more than just basketball. I'll give you an example. You beat Missouri 11 days ago. Mizzou's got that great J school, journalism school. And you had some advice for some of the young reporters who were there asking you questions. Do you remember the discourse? Do you remember any of the advice that you shared with them?
Yes, sir. I remember it. I got jumbled up. I'm so exhausted emotionally after a game. I'm not very good. So I always guard my words. It's the same thing that I wish somebody would have told me when I was a student manager at a junior college and a student manager at an NAI school. Number one, read more than you think that you should. Number two, write down everything about everything. The third thing, I didn't say exactly the way I typically have always said it. Number three, build trustful relationships for 10 years from now, but learn to connect the dots during that time. And then I always put in parentheses when I write it, trustful means never ask, only give. And then number four, never turn down an opportunity to learn or to work.
Hey, Buzz, you're not jumbled up at all. You nailed that. You nailed that. You nailed all four
of those.
Well,
I've had time to practice. I was so upset with myself. A lot of people have texted me, and I didn't say three the way I have always written it over the last 15 years. And so it bothers me that I wasn't as succinct as I should have been because I didn't say the word trustful. And similar to what we were just talking about, I think in the end, that's what this has to be. The only reason this is the only interview I've given in 2025, and it's just because I trust who you are and I admire the pride that you take in your craft. I've never listened to your radio show, but I've listened to every podcast you've done on the Reinvention Project just because I admire the insatiable desire you have to get better. And whether you're in the media or you're in coaching or you're in playing or you're in journalism, I think when you have a desire to improve, then you're always going to have a chance to help yourself, but also probably to help others.
Buzz Williams joining us. Buzz, I appreciate that very much. I know that's true. I know that this is not your favorite thing to do, and you always make it a point to come on this program, even though you never actually watch or listen to the program, but I really appreciate you finding that podcast.
I just like you.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I just like you. And I really like that you get something out of that Reinvention Project pod because that's why I do it.
Love it.
Because, and I love doing it too because I want to talk to people like you and I want to learn as well. We want to get better. We want to always
right.
get better no matter where we are. So let me ask you this. I've talked to a number of other coaches a lot about this too. Greg Gard came on Buzz recently. Grant McCaslin came on recently. I'm curious to get your thoughts. As the landscape of the sport has changed so dramatically, how has your job changed and your approach to your job?
Dramatically. I think that I've known those guys for a long time, those two guys that you mentioned. Obviously, I was at Marquette when Coach Ryan was the head coach, but I was also as the head coach at Marquette when Coach Gard became the head coach. So I think the job has completely changed from 10 years ago. And to be transparent, I think the job is completely different even from 5 years ago. And one of the things that I've tried to study, sometimes a little bit in the NFL, a little bit in the NBA, but more as it relates to the business industry, is the skill set of the head coach has morphed into something completely different. You still have to coach. Coach Gard can really coach. Coach McCaslin can really coach. But the things that you have to make decisions on now are much, there's much more depth than what specials are you going to run out of bounds under with 3 seconds to go and you need a three. There's more decisions. Part of it's the transient culture that it's become. Part of it's the money associated with that transient culture. And that also dictates who you have on your staff. Staffs are getting bigger because it's not just coaching anymore. It's you're a CEO of a multi-million dollar company. And what do you want your company to be about And even though there's not a lot of regulations and rules as of yet, each year there continues to be different iterations of what it is and what it's going to become. And so your ability to adapt while not sacrificing what you want your, quote, company to be about, there's a lot of decisions. And I think it's like anything else, right? Like, your identity has to come from within. It can't be an event. And so, well, there's a portal now. Yep, that's an event. Well, there's NIL now. Yes, that's an event. But your identity, it has to come from who you are. And that's you as a person, you as a leader. But it's also what you want your organization to represent. And so I for sure think the job that you have to do now is different. That's not me complaining. That's not me saying the system is broken. None of that. But I do think how you operated and the skills you needed 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 18 years ago when I became a head coach, that's a completely different skill set than it is now.
We're talking to Buzz Williams. I appreciate that response. Hey, Buzz, you and I know this, that you can't lead anybody else until you properly lead yourself. So when you talk about identity, what then is your identity? Like, our identity changes, but we know who we want to be. We know who we want to aspire to be. What then, or who then, or what is your identity? Are you a coach? Are you a CEO? Are you a leader? Are you a teacher? How do you see yourself, and what do you aspire to be?
Sure. Yeah, thanks for asking. Nobody hardly ever asks me what's important to me anymore, so it's kind of cool to be asked that. A few things. I think my identity's changed. What I thought was important when I first met you, the quote box score that I looked at that was important when I met you, a lot of those figurative stats, Rome, I don't even care about those stats anymore. I don't even track those anymore. I don't keep score of those things. I think my purpose at 52 has to be much broader than coaching. I think coaching is what I do currently, but it's not who I am. And I think who I am has to resonate at a louder decibel level, not only in my voice, but more importantly in my actions. Because I do think in the end, however you believe, I do think in the end, I have to be accountable for the relationships that I have, whether that's with our staff, whether that's with our administration, whether that's with a prior player, a current player, a future player, their moms, their dads, their mentors. And so when you are in an environment where there's so much exposure, you have to be careful that you don't pay attention to the audience, but that you pay attention to your work. And I think your work is part of, everybody deems success differently, but I think that your identity has to be, how, for me, how can I help you achieve you being your best? And along the way of getting better, as you get better, how can we constantly tweak your best? And if the only thing that I'm ever spending time with you on is your game, then as the adult, I'm failing you on what's most important in your life. And so I invest a lot of my time, energy, and emotion in trying to help our people, old and young. What is your best as a person, as an athlete, relative to your body, relative to your heart, relative to your soul? How can you improve your brain? And we've constantly got to figure out ways to tweak your best and change your best. And that's, to me, that's what success is. And that's what I believe my calling is, my purpose is. And hopefully I do okay at that in some ways.
I love that. I love that. It's your purpose. It is your purpose. Without a purpose, what are we getting up for in the morning, right? You got to have that North Star. You got to have that purpose. And that's right. A holistic approach. Buzz, before you go, and I really appreciate this conversation so much, in helping your young guys in your team, I mean, you're in a conference right now that's not only the best in the country, but maybe the best ever. I mean, it is a meat grinder. It is a gauntlet. I'm curious, how do you help keep your guys locked in mentally and keep them fresh, especially this time of year?
Yeah, anytime you get post-Valentine's Day, as you know, things begin to shift. How many reps can you have on the court? How many reps can you have in the film room? What is your plan on your days off? And what are the requirements with your staff, with your team? How can you be fresh. And I think we all have figurative gas tanks, emotional gas tanks, mental gas tanks, physical gas tanks, and everybody runs on a different fuel. And you as the leader have to know what kind of fuel helps them in each of their gas tank. And what I try to do is just make sure that our culture fosters a culture that inspires, that it supports, that it rewards great talent. And that great talent doesn't have to be that you are our best shooter or our best ball handler. That talent is who you are. And so we want to foster and support that talent. And when you get post-Valentine's Day, you've got to make sure that you're feeding those figurative gas tanks the right fuel at the right time. And so just to be truthful, that's where I spend most of my time.
I get that. Hey, Buzz, good news, bad news. Good news is we came together. We had our annual visit on the show. Bad news is you can't shake me because I think if it all comes together the right way, I'm going to see you at the John Gordon training camp event in May.
Hey, I couldn't believe I'm so excited. John sent me that text last month, and he was like, I would like you to share. And he sent me the graphic of all the people coming, and I was like, John, do you think I could just get an invitation to be an attendee? I don't think I need to be on the – I don't think I need to be up there with the – you don't need to add my face to those pictures because that's going to hurt the attendance. I just want to be there. I'm so excited.
But you had the same exact reaction. When he sent me a text and he said, are you coming? I said, you know, I think I am coming. And then I said, is there anything that I could do to help you or benefit or add value to this? Because I was the same way. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be in that audience. I know
I'll
I'm going to glean information from
that. All of the people flying in.
Exactly.
I'll pick you up on the private plane and take you there and make sure that we get all the amenities you need on the way to the facility and on the way out.
I need that, man. I need some of that A&M money. I'll tell you what. Okay. You know what they do? You know what he said? He said to me, what coach do you want to interview and what coach do you want to interview you? I said, I don't know, but I think Buzz and I are going to get some quality time together one way or another.
Perfect.
So keep that in mind, Buzz. Listen, I can't wait to see you. Thank you very much for today. And I know you make a point of doing this show and that you don't do a lot of this. Really appreciate you, man. Love and respect, Buzz.
Great to see you. I love you. Have a good day.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, our mission is to help members of the military, veterans, and their families achieve their financial goals. That's why we offer great savings and investing options like our certificates. Certificates come with sky-high rates, and some even have the flexibility to add money anytime during your term. Whether you're saving for a home, a new car, or your future, our options could help you get there. And certificates are just the beginning. Navy Federal also provides financial advisors to help you manage your investment portfolio, along with online tools to guide your savings plan. With our support, you'll have everything you need to take charge of your finances. So don't wait. The sooner you start building your financial future with Navy Federal savings and investing options, the better off you could be in the long run. Sign up at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal, and they may lose value. Ernie in Tampa. Great to have you. Ernie, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Hugh? You know, everything that goes around the Yankees, it starts right here in Tampa, Florida. I worked the last time something big time happened in the spring training was when Hideki came. And since the dad died, Hugh, them kids don't want to spend no money. And you wrapped it up with that Soto trade. When he was talking about how the Yankees don't want to do nothing. See, all this coming out of New York, they just jealous. Y'all not the big-time spenders anymore. And, you know, and they just don't hate Los Angeles. They hate California. Thank you, Hugh.
We go back to Austin, Texas. Otis in Austin. Otis, my man, how you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for the wine, old pimp in the box. Today on hump day, Doyers, that damn jungle Tourette's. I'm thrilled to be able to report to the people of Earth that in my spare time while constructing my dream project, which I have christened Luka's second floor. I've crunched the numbers, Jim, and I can now report clones due to the explosion of a white dwarf star, which has sent a massive, and I mean massive, gamma ray burst, thus diverting the football stadium-sized asteroid way, way off its course. Yeah, it's true, clones. The massive asteroid was definitely miss hitting the Earth, but, and it's a big but, it will then plow directly into Uranus and vaporize. Rack me. I'm out.
Have you noticed that the way we use our phones is, well, ironic? Phones are for connection, but we look at them more than we look at each other. That's ironic. So U.S. Cellular created Us Mode to help us reconnect. It helps us use phones a little less ironically. A phone company wanting people to use their phones less? That's ironic. Let's find us again with Us Mode from U.S. Cellular. Visit uscellular.com/builtforus to get started. Joined right now by Rick Carlisle. Rick, it is awesome to have you on. As always, let me first ask you, how was your All-Star break? Were you able to get away from hoops and mentally reset, get a little time to yourself?
It was great, Jim. Thank you. Great to be back in the jungle, as always. You guys are once again ahead of the curve on X, broadcasting to the world. So my hat's off to you there. And we had a great All-Star break. We went back to Dallas. My daughter was part of an event for herself and a lot of her high school classmates. She's now a second year at the University of Virginia. But they had a debutante event, which I had very low expectations of. But once we experienced it at Symphony Hall in Dallas, Texas, it was one of the most spectacular things I've ever seen or been a part of, and it was just awesome. So thanks for asking.
Hey, Rick, that is awesome. That is so great that you got to do that mid-season, especially, and get that quality family time, because as you know, we know, it means more now than ever before. I'm really happy to hear that. Listen, when you and I spoke last September, you were getting ready for the season. You obviously had a great deal of optimism after reaching the conference finals last year. So bring me up to date. What's your mindset about how the group is right now? And now that we're roughly two-thirds of the way through the regular season, how do you feel about the group and how it's playing?
Well, it's a great group of guys. You know, the start was rough. We had some injuries. We had maybe a little hangover from the run in the playoffs last year. It was a 10-15 start, which was not what we were planning, and certainly not what we were expecting. But since then, we've been 20-8. You know, we're 70 games above 500, which has us back on track. As I said, it's a great group of guys. You know, Pascal Siakam was an All-Star this past weekend. Tyrese Haliburton is an All-Star. He just wasn't named to the team. But those are our two star players. You know, Miles Turner is probably our third star guy. And then we have, you know, Mathurin, McConnell, and all those guys. And we're a team built on strength in numbers. We got to play together to be successful. I think we have a fun style to watch. And coming out of the break, you know, we're going to get hit hard in the face with a game at home against Memphis, who's very physical, very fast. And last time we played them, they didn't have Zach Edey. So this time they do have him. So they'll be even more big and more physical than they were, you know, a month and a half ago or whenever it was we played them last.
Rick Carlisle joining us. You know, Rick, to that point, you were also, you didn't say it, but you were the coach of the month for the month of January. The team went 10-2 during that time. In terms of that slower start, when you won 10 of your first 25 games, ultimately, was it just a matter of getting healthy? What was the biggest change? How did you turn the corner?
Well, Tyrese had a slow start because he had a summer where he just wasn't able to do that much. He had the injury in the playoffs and became healthy just about the time that Team USA started their practices. So he had five or six practices in Vegas with them. And then, you know, those guys are jetting around the world playing exhibition games in Abu Dhabi and, you know, cities in Europe, et cetera, et cetera. He played some in the exhibitions, but didn't play much in the regular games. And then when he did get in the game, I think it was the second to last game, he kind of banged up his calf. And so he was out for kind of the rest of the summer. Didn't get a base of reconditioning after the injury in the playoffs. And then, you know, we got to we got to September and he was still nursing a couple of things, got totally healthy probably 3 days before the season started, training camp, I should say. And it just took a while. And after the year he had last year, all NBA, you know, all-star, all that kind of stuff, it's tough when you don't have the conditioning base and you don't have your rhythm. So that was rough. And then we had key injuries to three of our glue guys, you know, Shepard, Nembhard, and Nesmith. And during that period, we were playing guys that were on two-way contracts and things like that. And even though you have your two-star players and Miles playing, it's difficult. It really spoke to the ecosystem that our team is and how dependent we are on one another, and glue guys become essential. So that was a rough start. And as we started to get healthy, we went on a great run in December and January. And I think we won 12 out of 13 games on the road, which is extremely difficult to do. I mean, I don't know of a team that's done that, you know, in recent history. And that's gotten us back to, you know, where we want to be, in the thick of it in the East.
Talking to Rick Carlisle, really comprehensive. You mentioned Nesmith, Rick. Aaron Nesmith, you actually made a move. You put him in the starting lineup, and Mathurin went to the bench. I'm curious if you want to share it. What was your thought process behind that, and then how have each responded since?
Well, you know, Nesmith was our starter last year. He was our starter at three when we had our run in the playoffs. He had a very odd injury situation this year. He hit a shot, and then as he was following through away from the shot in the corner, we're playing in New Orleans, he steps on Willie Green's foot. He steps on the coach's foot.
Crazy.
And it didn't seem like it was that big a deal. And then 4 or 5 minutes later, he took another step that was funny, and then he was out for 2.5 months. And so, you know, he got back into it before the All-Star break. I think he played 4 or 5 games. We brought him along slowly with gradual minutes. You know, Mathurin had been starting. Mathurin was doing a fine job as a starter. But there were many analytic things pointing to the fact that Nesmith would be better suited for our team as a starter and Mathurin would be better off the bench. Mathurin's efficiency is better off the bench. When Mathurin starts, he's out there with three other guys that, you know, are need shots. When you're talking about Halliburton, Siakam, and Turner, and so bringing him off the bench more clearly defines his role on the team, Mathurin, that is. And then, you know, Nesmith was a guy that, you know, guarded Jalen Brunson in the playoffs. His style fits in probably a little more seamlessly with the starters than Mathurin's. And so there were many metrics that were pointing to it. The eye test pointed to it as well. And then as a head coach, you got to have these conversations. And lineup changes are not easy. I don't like them. I would always err on the side of not changing the lineup unless there was really things pointing in that direction. In this case, it was. And so we did it. And Mathurin's responded great. You know, he's gone from a 16-point scorer to a 23-point scorer in the 2 games. And he was spectacular in the game before the break down in Washington. I mean, he scored 28 and was one of the reasons we were able to come back and win that game in overtime. So, and Nesmith's getting his legs under him. So the hope is that all this will gel together the way we'd like it to.
We're talking to Rick Carlisle. Rick, you mentioned the eye test and analytics. All right, so there's so much data available. There's so much information. How do you personally balance the eye test versus the analytics?
Well, in this case, you know, we have three analytics people, and I contacted all three of them separately and asked them to do a study on our team, what trends are looking like, what they would suggest, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And all three of them got back to me independently with the same suggestion, that things were pointing to the fact that Nesmith was trending better with the starters and that Mathurin was better with the guys off the bench. We had a period where slow starts were a big problem on our West Coast trip before we came back. And so it just really felt like we had to do something. And then, you know, Jim, you can't escape the human element. I mean, lineup changes are emotional. The media is all over it. You know, it's just a lot of stuff. And so, as my friend George W. Bush once said, sometimes I have to be the educator in chief, you know, so I gotta educate the players on why, I gotta educate the team on why. And then, you know, you got to communicate it the right way to the media. And so, you know, hopefully I've done that. And as we pick up after the All-Star break, you know, our two practices over the last couple of days have been good. And I think Mathurin's settling in as that guy off the bench, as the main scorer off the bench, and he can really be a weapon in that role.
It's funny you mentioned George W. Bush, Rick. I went to an event not long ago, a few months back here in Los Angeles, and it was a History Channel event, and he spoke. And he was funny, man. He's funny. He was a really, really interesting speaker. He had a great energy about him. So just want to share that really quickly. So in terms of the analytics, guys, before you go, Rick, how much of a basketball background do they have? Where do these guys come from? And did they play ball? Do they know ball? Or is it strictly analytics?
Wow, what a great question. Well, one of them, I think a couple of them may have played in high school. There's two male analytics people, and I think those guys may have played some in high school. And we have a female analytics person who we brought on this year when we lost our basketball analytics person to the college game. And so our new female's named Lauren James. She played at Taylor University, which is in the state of Indiana. She had been doing an internship with the Colts when we contacted her. She actually had done an internship with the Pacers in the summer of 22. And so our other two analytics guys, Brady and Spencer had strongly recommended her. We interviewed her and she came on board. But they all, regardless of what their playing experience is, they live and breathe the metrics of the game, and they study it, and they probably overstudy it. And it's one of the reasons that I got with them all independently. I didn't want there to be any kind of a group confirmation bias or anything like that. And it's another way to try to safeguard this kind of an important decision.
Rick Carlisle, my guest. Hey, Rick, one last thought. You know, I've talked a lot about Larry Bird over the years. I bring this up because there's a new documentary on HBO right now, or I should say, actually it is HBO. Quote, "We beat the dream team." It's a story about the college select team that beat the 92 Olympic squad prior to the Olympics. And the doc shows Larry Bird, and he's knocking in shots. He's calling his shots before he's knocking them in, and he's talking junk to the kids. What do you think that Larry must have thought as the select team was getting the better of them? And how intense was he on the floor for those who don't remember?
Yeah. Well, Larry had, as intense a competitor as he was, you know, in such a legendary way, he was always a guy that found a way to have fun with things, whether it was trash talking, whether it was joke telling, whether it was, you know, getting all over a teammate or something like that. It was nonstop fun. And when Bill Walton came on board my second year with the team, I mean, Larry and Kevin McHale were relentless, you know, going at Bill and making fun of him. And Bill was just eating it up, because every other team he had been with, he'd been kind of the main top dog. But the thing, to answer your question, I'm not really sure. I just remember when Larry went into the Dream Team, he was really dealing with some back issues. I don't know how much he participated in those scrimmages, but if those guys were indeed kicking their butts the way you hear the stories, I'll bet Larry was pissed, along with Magic and Michael and all those great players. And it was probably something that was a good wake-up call for them at the time.
One of the game's greats, Rick Carlisle, 23 years now as a head coach. He won a championship as a player. He won a championship as a head coach and a good friend of the program. Rick, appreciate you so much. Always great to get caught up, and really nice to have you on, Rick. Thanks so much for it.
Jim, always a pleasure. Be well.
YouTube personality Benny Johnson has cracked the code on a new era of newsmaking.
It's got to be music to your ears. It's like the angels singing.
Listen, learn, and laugh.
I had a feeling you'd be in a very good mood. Oh, this is going to be a glorious day on Capitol Hill for you, sir.
It's a new cultural landscape.
So it's an important moment right now. Does this deserve another look?
The Benny Show.
Seize it in all of its glory.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.